I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Such a mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, oh, you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Help me, Tracy. I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Mighty long way. Oh, I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For you brought me. You brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, you've been my mother.
Been my mother.
Been my father.
Been my father.
You've been my sister.
Been my sister.
Brother too.
Been my
oh,
brother.
You brought me. Yes, you brought me. From a mighty long way, mighty long way. Been my mother,
been my mother.
Been my father,
been my father.
Been my sister,
been my sister.
Brother too.
Been my brother.
Oh, you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, you've been my bread,
been my bread.
You've been my water,
been my water.
You've been my shelter,
been my shelter.
Time of storm,
time of storm.
You brought me, yes, you brought me. From a mighty, mighty long way.
Yes, you did.
Oh, you've been my bread.
Been my bread.
Been my water.
Been my water.
Been my shelter.
Been my shelter.
Time of storm. You brought me, yes, you brought me. From a mighty,
mighty long way.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
For you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty,
long way. Mighty long way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, you brought me. Brought me from a mighty,
mighty, mighty long way.
Oh, a mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, Dwight. Dwight's going to come and lead us in a scripture, and then Ressie, I want you to lead us in prayer, and then Ressie's going to do a selection. Hey, every time you have a trial, it's an opportunity to grow, and it's an opportunity to learn. We sure appreciate y'all being with us today. Matter of fact, this is our 102nd anniversary. And we are doing it in a different way, but we got a lot to thank God for. Amen. You can plan and you can prepare, but the God we serve, he's sovereign. He's in control. And we're living in times where we can plan and prepare all we want to, but then there's some things that can happen that even we can't control. But I'm trusting and believe that it's all a part of God's plan. Amen. Amen. Come on, Dwight.
Church family, our scripture today comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 25. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of this earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for reading the word of the Lord. As we go to the Lord in prayer, please bow your heads and close your eyes. And God, we say thank you. Thank you for yet another day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, thank you for 102 years of being with us in this church. Thank you for our pastor and our first lady for feeding us spiritually. And thank you for everything that you've done. Lord, as we go forth in our praise, we ask that you remove all distractions. The enemy tried to get us earlier, but we are back on track. And we ask that you continue to dwell here with us. Thank you for all that you've done, Lord, and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody know our God to be a way maker? He has made so many ways for me. He has opened so many doors that no man can close. And for that, I want to say thank you. Hallelujah.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. And you are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, and you're healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, and you're mending every heart. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. You're turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Working, you never stop, you never stop working. Even in a pandemic, you're working. No matter what's going on, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even social justice, you're working. In social injustice, you're working.
You never stop. You never stop working. And we give you glory. Yes, Lord. You're a way maker and you're a miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. You're a way maker, a miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Everybody say, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
I want to preach for a little while on let's be clear. Let's be clear. There are times in all of your lives where you know God has taken you to another level of blessings. That occurred to me one day when I was in Sam's. I was in Sam's and my glasses consistently seemed to be scratched and seemed to be unclean. And so I saw a box of these lens cleansers. And so there was a time I would get just a little packet, because just depends what kind of change I had in my pocket. But on this particular day, I was feeling good, and Trudy had given me a financial report, and I said, shoot, I don't have to settle for little packets anymore. And I bought a whole box, about 100 of them things, and it just so happens that a day or so later, I was going to the optometrist, and when I got there to get some new glasses, I bought some lens cleansers so that I could keep my glasses clean. And the optometrist told me that those are the worst things you could ever use on your glasses. Wait a minute, it says lens cleansing wipe. We make it visible. Pre-moistened lens wipes. I just bought a whole box, I got 100 of them. He said, that's the worst thing you can do to make your glasses clean. He says, a lot of people don't know this, but I'll tell you what you ought to do. If you want to clean your glasses, get you some Dawn liquid detergent and take your glasses and run them under the water and then get you some Dawn cleaning, some Dawn dishwashing liquid and dab it, put some on the lens, clean the lens and clean the frame. And Dawn has something in it, he said, that one, not only will it rinse off all the microscopic particles that you can't even see, but it has something in it that creates a sheeting action where the water will run off. And he says, you let the water run off and then just get you a towel. And don't wipe or scrub, you just dab it. And if you do that, don't forget to clean the frames. If you do that, your lens will be clear. I've been doing it ever since. My wife laughs at me sometimes because I would rather go through half a day with dirty glasses till I can get to some Dawn soap, because I'm determined that I don't want to scratch them up, pay too much for them. I want to look through a clear lens. I offer that as an illustration because when Paul, after getting ran out of Thessalonica, after getting ran out of Berea, Paul is now in Athens. He's there, and as he's walking around, Paul is overwhelmed. Matter of fact, he's disturbed because everywhere he looks, there's an idol, because he says this whole city has been engulfed in idolatry. He's troubled by it. He goes to the synagogue, and he's there sharing the word of God, and people look at him as if he's strange. They call his teaching about Jesus and the resurrection, they call that some kind of new gospel, some kind of new message. They call it foreign. And they said to him, we'd like you to come, if you will, let me paraphrase it. We want you to come to our big meeting, to the Areopagus. And he accepts the invitation and he goes there where all the smart people were. He goes and sits down with the smart people who have come up with all of these different religions. And as he's walking around, he has observed some things and he files it away because he's trying to figure out, how am I going to connect with these smart people who think they know everything there is to know about God? And he, after seeing one altar after another, one idol after another, he finally comes across not an idol, but an altar. And on the altar there, it was written these words, to the unknown God. And Paul filed that in the back of his mind. When he got to the Areopagus, they handed him the mic. And on this particular day, Paul says, he starts this in verse number 22. And he found a way to connect with the people. He didn't want to insult them because he had something he wanted to teach them. But he did say to them, he connected with these words. He said, you know, I've been walking around y'all's town and I see that y'all are real religious. He says, it's evident that y'all are religious, and I've been observing the objects that y'all are worshiping. It's y'all real religious. They have gone from what they believe in private to putting what they believe in private. They've made it public, and they've given it a prominent place in their life. That's another sermon for another day. Write it down, Dwight. I ain't got time to preach it. I'll rewind and do it one more time. There's some things that they believed privately, but what they believed privately, they have now gone public with what they believe privately, and have given what they believed of importance a prominent place in their life. And they've made it public because ain't no shame in their game. And they don't care who sees and who watches. And they let everybody who comes by know, this is who we worship. This is who we look to. This is who we believe in. And Paul says, y'all some real religious people. Y'all got your rules, you got your rituals, you got your repetition. Y'all are real religious. But it's interesting because the truth is that you can climb the ladder of success only to discover that you can have your building, your ladder leaning against the wrong building. I'm really afraid that there's some people that are trying to climb and get higher in life, but they got their ladder leaning against the wrong building. Some people said, if I could just get that job, I could be happy and be successful. I could have joy and peace, only to discover, I don't care what job it is, even if it's pastoring the Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church, if you're looking for that to be the ultimate fulfillment in life, your ladder is leaning against the wrong building. Somebody said, it wasn't a job for me, it was a house. I said, if I could get that house in that subdivision, then I would truly be happy. And they got the house and they climbed and filled every room, only to discover that there was still something missing. Because if you're expecting a house, furniture, and fine linen, to bring fulfillment in your heart. Your ladder is leaning against the wrong building. I might as well go on there. We're going to be here a minute. Somebody said, if I could just get her to say yes, if I could just get him, if I could just get his attention, then he will complete me, only to discover that he made you completely crazy. Because if you depended upon a man or a woman to fulfill what only God can, your ladder is leaning against the wrong building. Let's be clear. Paul gets the mic and he begins to explain to them that it's evident, y'all got this God over here, then you got this one next to him, and then you got this one and this one and this one, and then after having all of them gods, you still aren't satisfied, and then you turned around and said, something's still missing. There must be a God that we don't know, because it is the God of the universe that have created us for worship, and we're going to worship something. We're going to worship something. We're designed to worship. Some people worship sports. Some people worship beyond artists. Some people worship stuff and things. But none of those things can fulfill what only God can fulfill. Let us be clear. And so the people created an altar. And they said, this is to the unknown God. It's as if they were saying, we going to have this one as a backup. And Paul said, I perceive that y'all are real religious. And y'all even got an altar to the unknown God. And Paul says, you're admitting that you don't even know this God. And then Paul says, that's the one I want to talk to you about. In verse number 24, it begins with these words, the God. And so one of the things I want Paul does as he begins to make things clear, he says to them, the God. I got to stop there. I got to put my parking brakes on. Because he didn't say a God. There is a difference between using the word a God and the God. Sometimes I hear lyrics of songs in worship, and sometimes I want to change the lyrics. There's one song, I love it, it's a beautiful song, but I would so like to change the lyrics. One of the songs we sing says, you are a mighty God. And it's almost, I don't know who wrote the song. I don't know who wrote the artist. I've never had a conversation with them. But I, when they, with the choir, sometimes people sing, you are a mighty God. And then while they're saying that, I don't have the mic and I sing it the way I want to sing it. I say, you're the mighty God. Let me show you the difference. Outside, there is a gray Ford F-150. There's some Ford trucks outside. There's a gray Ford 150. And then Dwight has one. Yeah, his is a whole nother level. He has a black trimmed chrome creature, all kinds of creature comforts. It's another Ford truck. And then there's the one I drive. The one I drive. When I say the white F-150. Parked by the curb, that makes a distinction between all the, there's some other trucks out there, but the truck, the one that I drive, makes a distinction. And what Paul is saying y'all keep talking about all these gods, these little G-O-D-S's, but the God is the one I'm talking about. Here's where I want to outline this. Paul teaches them, number one, that the God, he's not one among many. You don't put him in a category with Zeus and all them other, no, no. Those are idols. Those are idols made by man. The God, the true and living God, he's God, and he's God all by himself. And then Paul says, let me tell you what he did. The first thing he did was he created the world. He is the one who, here it is, he's the one who made the world. He's the one who made something out of nothing. And people keep putting numbers on how old the world is, and they try to figure out where it came from. Did something bang? Well, who created the something to bang? Something blow up. Well, who created that? And many individuals are arguing. I just like what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created. He spoke, and the world came into being. Not only did he is not one among many. He's the God who created the world. Here it is, number two. He's the one who created the contents. Not only creating the world is one thing, but everything in it he made. And he walked us through what he did. He divided light from darkness, rain from water, seawater from water in lakes and rivers, all the animals. He created the world. He created the contents of the world. He created man. He created the world. Then he took some dust that he made and made man. And then he took a man and made a woman. And then he took a man and a woman and made all the rest of us. He is the God who creates. He created the world. He creates the contents, which means he has the right to control what he makes. And that's why smart people don't want to talk about creation, because if he created it, then he has a right to control everything he creates. And there's some smart people that don't want to admit that he created the world, because if he created the world and the contents, that means he's responsible for creating them. And if he created them, then he has a right to tell you what. Paul is talking to smart people, and he says he created the world. He created the contents, which means he has a right to control what he made. Then Paul says, not only is he's not one among many, he doesn't need the creature to survive. This is what Paul said. Paul said, the God who created us don't need us to build him a temple to live in. He don't live in temples. He don't live in temples. It was men who said, this is the house of, they wanted to build God a house, but you can't fit God. How can you fit? You can't fit the God we serve in a temple. He's too big. Paul says, we need shelter, but the God we serve, he doesn't need shelter. He doesn't live in temples. And he doesn't need man's hands to sustain him. He's talking to smart people. Smart people who were made by God came up with a bright idea that there were some other gods, and so these smart people who were made in the image of God took their own hands to make an idol in their image and then turned around and worshiped the image that they made. Somebody ought to say, that sounds stupid to me. That sounds stupid to me. Here you are created by God, but you don't have sense enough to worship the one you create. So, because you don't want to worship the one you create, because you got to worship him a certain kind of way, in spirit and in truth, you decide to make your own God and then sit him down and then worship something made by your hands. Anything made by your hands cannot sustain and do for you what the true and living God can. One time somebody was teasing, poking fun. They said, I see him, but he don't, you speak to him. He's got a mouth, but he don't speak. You put ears on him, but he can't hear. He got eyes, but he can't see. I remember when they were on Mount Carmel and they were having the contest. Elijah said, holler a little louder. Maybe he's on a nap. Here they are worshiping these images that they made with their own hands. But then Paul says, no, here's what God does. Not only does he not need a temple, and he does not need man's hands to serve him so that he can be sustained, but he himself, the one who created us, he himself gives life and breath and everything else to what he has created. I love verse 26. It says, from one man he made all nations. From one man he made all nations. Here it is. Here it is. Number one, he is not one among many. He's the true and living God. Number two, he doesn't need the creature, us, to survive. And here's my last one. He made one man in his image. Now that's a marvelous text. I want to unpack that text for you, because by making one man in his own image, it helps us to understand the brotherhood of man. Don't ask me to figure out how one person's hair became curly and another one became straight. I don't know nothing about that. I can't explain the DNA why one person's hair is red and another person's brown. I don't understand how one person's eyes is green and another one's blue and another one's brown. But we all came from one man. We share a brotherhood. And if we don't remember anything else as we live in these perilous times, we need to be mindful of the fact that we are all created from one man. That makes us brothers. And every child, sooner or later, is going to have to give account to the father by how they treated their brother. You may not believe it, but I'll testify and tell the truth. I'm not proud of it, but there was a time, I'm 5 years, nearly 5 years older than my next sibling, and there's some more after them. And there were times where I was a bully because since I had to babysit and be in charge when mom and daddy was gone, I was wanting to make them do what mama told us we had to do before she got home. And if we didn't do what she said, you know what would happen. Sometimes there's a raising of the voice, sometimes there's a pop upside the head, sometimes there's a threat. That's the way she rolled, and that's the way I rolled. It's the way I roll. I'm going to try to make them do, because I was the one who was in charge and took on the role sometimes of a bully. And then word got out that I was overstepping my bounds. And I had a meeting one day with the father. And he explained to me, and I came out of the room crystal clear that I was a brother and not a father. And I had a level of responsibility, but it only went so far. Because the truth is, when we come to understand that we are brothers, there's a humanity that we ought to share and realize and embrace. Paul emphasizes the brotherhood of man. And because we're made in the image of God, here's what else God did. God appointed a time. There is an appointed time in history. I chuckle all the time because my wife, she celebrates the fact. She said, I'm so glad I was born in the time I was born in. The idea of hauling water to take a bath, hauling water to do dishes, the idea of hauling water to do laundry. She said, oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad God waited till there were some amenities to allow me to be born in this day. But listen to what Paul says. Paul says, out of one nation he made all men. And that expresses the brotherhood of men. And every man has an appointed time. God has ordained when we would arrive. And God has ordained when we live, when we leave. Question is, it's every now and then when you go through the cemetery, you'll see some interesting things when you go through the cemetery. You'll see on most tombstones, you'll see a name. And usually there's something reflective of that person, blood, brother, husband, father, mother, all of that kind of stuff. But then you'll see two important numbers. You'll see one number that's on the left that's always smaller than the number on the right. The number on the left gives the date that they were born. The number on the right gives the date that they left this world. And every now and then you'll see another set of numbers where the person has the name, the person has a number on the left, and they don't have a number on the right. It's all because they haven't died yet, but when they do die, it's already been declared, put me right here. I can't do nothing about the number I showed up December 8th, 1959. I didn't have nothing to do about that. And that other number, I don't know what that number is going to be. But the truth is, God has ordained for all of us an appointed time. Matter of fact, Paul goes a step further. He says, not only has God ordained an appointed time, but God's put boundaries. God has, I like this word. There's a word that says marked out. Means that like an architect, God has marked out where we would start, where we would stop, and he's marked out how far we could go. And see, that's why you can live in times like this. You can live through a pandemic, and you can live through what seems to be unusual and unhealthy leadership at the highest level, because God has appointed. Go on, cuss if you want to. You should have went and voted. And if you don't go vote, you're going to be cussing again. But here's what you need to know. God has appointed. People don't like to hear this, but God has sovereignly arranged for the world to experience what we have in D.C. God has appointed it. Not only has he appointed it, and here's what I like, he puts boundaries on how far he can go. He can say whatever he wants to say, but he's not God. He might have some houses and land, some golf courses here and there, but he does not have power over God. And before his mama knew his daddy, God had already marked out when he would show up. So quit acting like, I know what it is, either you haven't read it or you read it and don't believe it. But the God we serve, he is in complete control. He says, he made one man out of his image, that's the brotherhood. Thank God he puts boundaries on how far folk can go. But then the final thing I want to share with you, not only did God do this because he wants to remind us that we're brothers, that we're family, he puts boundaries on how far we can go. But he does this because there's a blessing he's given to man. Don't miss it. In this last verse that I read, God did this, verse number 27, so that we would seek him, perhaps reach out to him and find him. God did this on purpose. Then Paul said, there are three verbs I need to give you why he did it. So that you'd seek him, reach out to him, and find him. He's talking to smart people. There will come a time in all of our lives where you're going to experience something that you can't handle. And everybody got somebody that they think can handle anything. It might be Big Mama. It might be an uncle. It might be an aunt. And most folk got somebody they run to as a refuge. Most folk got somebody they run to when their back gets up against the wall. Most folk got somebody they run to when they need a bailout. But there's going to come a time you're going to have an experience, a situation, a circumstance where even Big Mama can't bail you out. When even Grandpa can't bail you out. Some of y'all been cute a long time, and all you had to do was exercise your assets. Catch that one in the parking lot to get what you want. But there's going to come a time your assets ain't gonna get it. And Paul told him that God fixes it. Bless his holy name. God fixes life so that every now and then you don't have nobody to turn to but him. Listen to him. He did it so that there'll come a time in your mind you'll say, I need him. But saying you need him is one thing. What you gonna do about it? Needing him is one thing, but reaching for him is something else. Let me help you. You're in your seat and you're saying the right words. I need the Lord. But what are you going to do about what you said? Listen to what Paul said. You can need him, but then you got to reach for him. Have I got a witness here? Reach for him and you'll find him. In the word of God, you'll find him in prayer. You'll find him in worship. Have I got a witness here? You need to say and believe, I need him. I'm going to reach for him. Now, this is an interesting word. This is an interesting word. This word here, when Paul uses this word reach for him, it means to grope. It means to grope. What that really means is I don't really know where he is, but I'm reaching. Have I got a witness here? It's like the blind man. When Jesus was walking by, he didn't know how close he was, but he said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Hey, I can do it like this. When I was a little boy, we used to play a game called Blind Man's Bluff. It went something like this. Somebody would take a sock, a tube sock, hopefully a clean one, and tie it around your eyes. And then they'd spin you all around till you got dizzy. And then the goal was, when you stopped spinning, it was your job to try to find and catch the individuals. And then the last one to get caught, they won the game. Here it is. When you can't see your way, when things get dizzy, when you lose your equilibrium and you feel drunk, about to fall, the Lord said, "Seek me, reach for me." Hey, I thank the Lord that while you're reaching for him, guess what? He's reaching for you. And he's so big, you don't have to go far to bump into him. He's a big God. Hey, if you get in the word, you'll bump into him. If you call his name, you'll bump into him. He ain't hiding. He's waiting on you to need him, to seek him, to reach for him. That's what he did when he sent Jesus. It was God reaching down to give us a Savior. When Jesus got on Calvary, it was Jesus, one hand reaching up to God, another hand reaching down to man, so that we could be connected. It ain't about religion. Be clear. You can have rules, rituals, repetition, but this thing ain't about religion. This thing ain't about real estate. It ain't about 867 East Walnut Street. It ain't about Line Street. It's all about relationship. Hey, when you can't get to 867, you still can get to God right where you are. Kurt, you can get to God. Chandler, you can get to God. Eagle Way, you can get to God. When you can't get to the church, you can still get to God. Let's be clear. He sent his son. Let's be clear. Jesus died that we might live. Let's be clear. He rose from the dead with all power in his hands. And let's be clear. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's not looking for alphas or kappas, Q's or deltas. He's looking for people who've been born again. I've been born again. Yeah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Smart people were trying to create their own God because, in a real sense, they wanted a God that they could control. But any God that you can control is not worthy to be God. The God, the true and living God, who created both heaven and earth, you and me, loves us so much that he wants a relationship with us. And that relationship is found through Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus says, I'm the door. Nobody gets to the Father but by me. My prayer for you, number one, if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you pray this prayer even with me right now. Gracious God, my Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son to die for my sins. I ask you to save me, and I confess him as Lord and Savior of my life right now. If you do that, believe me, my brother and sister, you are part of the family of God. We're brothers and sisters by creation, but it's also important that we be brothers and sisters by faith. My prayer is that if you've done that, I want to welcome you to the kingdom, welcome you to the family. Let us know. Go on our website. Let us know that you've trusted the Lord as your Savior. We want you to be a part of the family. It's not going to be like this always. We'll be together again, and we'll continue to stream because there are people all over the nation that share with us that are looking for an opportunity to worship and serve God. And so we thank you. Secondly, to those of you who are believers, understand clearly, God is in control. This pandemic didn't catch God by surprise. What we're going through as a nation, it's not God who took a nap, woke up and said, oops. No, this is because of sin. Because of sin. All the way back in Genesis, you had a brother turning on another brother out of jealousy, out of envy, out of covetousness. And God even allowed it that ultimately we might know and appreciate our need for a Savior. So may the Lord bless and keep you. You stay strong in the Lord. My brother, you stay strong in the Lord. My sister, amen. Hey, family, it's time for the offering. You have been faithful, so grateful to God for your faithfulness. We are excited about all the things that God is doing in the life of our church, in the life of ministry. Facility-wise, there's a number of activities going on, and can't thank God enough for the leadership that he has provided. God has given us some amazing men and women who are diligently coming alongside to prepare us for the time where we will come together again and to prepare our preschool for opening. So we're very grateful. I'm not going to begin to call names. I don't want to forget anybody, but y'all know who you are. In church family, when you see some, our trustees, and when you see this team of technicians and the band and worship leaders and individuals that join us, you thank them. Thank them and appreciate how God is using them. I want to share a couple of announcements. One that I want to share today is that we had every intention of celebrating our anniversary this evening at 5 p.m. We had actually recorded a concert. We were going to record the concert, and there were some individuals that had some health issues. We had even individual who who were getting tested for COVID, and so they haven't had all the results, but we want to be safe. We want to be safe. We're going to do that concert. It's going to be postponed, but we're going to do that concert, and it's going to be, it's exciting, and we're going to have a great time. So again, want you to please pray for the entire team and pray for us as we continue to serve God safely in the midst of all that we are, in the midst of all that we're facing. Do want to lift up a couple of prayer requests. Want to thank God how the Lord has strengthened Sister Adrienne's fingers. Want to please remember Sister Becky, and God has strengthened both of them. Please remember Brother Jonathan Parkhurst, that the Lord would bless him, and Deacon John Bush. We're praying and pulling for each and every one of you, and we thank God that he has kept you thus far. But we do want to share in our offering. Again, you can give through Givelify, through PayPal. Many of you come by on a regular basis and you place your offering in the mail slot, and we're getting that, and you have been consistent, and God is truly blessing on every hand. And so thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the entire team. Thank you for people who go the extra mile to help us to accomplish what he's wanting us to do. We're very excited about some things that he's doing with our media. You know, we test it, and of course things seem to run fine when you test, and then you run into some bugs. But every time something happens, it's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to grow, and we don't take any of that for granted. We welcome the opportunities to grow. And again, so I'm praying that you'll be patient with us. Remember, this is something that we have just recently begun, and we're going to get better as we go along. And so we thank God for that. And you be kind. You be kind to the technicians. It's not anything that they did. There's just issues at times. And so we thank God. We thank God for their faithfulness. And so you be kind. As we walk together. I'm going to close the service today. Today is our first Sunday, and I don't know if you've got your juice and got your cracker or whatever, or bread, but we do want to remember. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this to remember me." And he gave it to his disciples. He blessed the bread and he said, "This is my body. My body that is given for you." And so we take it to remember his body that was wounded for our transgressions, bruised even for our iniquities. And then he blessed the cup. He says, "Drink this. This is my blood that was given for you." Salvation is free, but it cost Jesus his life. And he gave it freely so that we could have a relationship with God our Father. So may the Lord bless you as I share this benediction with you. It is my prayer that you'll have clarity. Know that God has created both heaven and earth and everything in it, and he has a right to control and direct what he has created. You need to know that we are brothers. Don't forget about the brotherhood of man. God didn't make Chinese Adam and Eve, African Adam and Eve, European Adam and Eve. He made one Adam, one Eve. And that makes all of us brothers and sisters in creation. Know that the God we serve, he's not a God. He's the God, the true and living God. And he doesn't need us. Doesn't need us to build him a house so that he could come out of the rain. There's no temple big enough to hold him. He doesn't need our hands in order to survive. Because of the blessing, we ought to use our hands to love one another, use our hands to help one another, the least, the lonely, even the left out. We ought to use our hands in praise and worship recognize when things get dizzy, seems like you're about to fall. Seek him. Reach out to him. And know that as you're reaching for him, God is reaching for you. And may the Lord bless you, keep you. May his face smile on you. And may he give you peace that you can't even explain. To him be the glory both now and forever. God bless you. Love you all. In Jesus' name, amen.